So if you're serious about decentralized finance, really serious, you also know that liquidity provision, or LPing, it's where the real yield is. But it's also where complexity just goes to breed. You've gone deep on a theory, you understand impermanent loss, you know your way around a Uniswap V3 position.
Right.
But the real challenge for you now is, how do you integrate all of it? How do you take that scattered knowledge and build one systematic, repeatable, professional operating machine?
Yeah, that's exactly the pivot, isn't it? We're moving beyond just dabbling or making ad hoc investments
Exactly.
and into building a structured system that treats LPing like, well, like a genuine financial business. And the sources we've got today, they deliver that ultimate integration step, a clear five-phase blueprint. It covers architecture, operations, automation, tracking, and documentation.
Okay, so let's just dive right into this blueprint then. Our mission for this deep dive is to distill exactly what goes into creating that professional-grade LP system, one that seamlessly brings together risk management, a multi-protocol strategy, and, predictable workflows.
Systematic management over guesswork.
That's the goal. So to earn that title, professional, you have to have a structured financial plan. And this all starts with phase one, system architecture design.
Right.
This is just about chasing the highest APY pools. It's about systematic diversification across four different dimensions at the same time, making sure no single point of failure can, blow up your whole portfolio.
Yeah, that capital allocation framework is it's absolutely everything. The first two dimensions are really about managing institutional and sort of geographic risk. You have to diversify by chain.
Meaning spread your capital around.
Exactly. Spread it across Ethereum, mainnet, major L2s like Base or Arbitrum, and even alternative L1s like Solana. And then you diversify by protocol. So don't just live on Uniswap V3. Use other DEXs like Aerodrome, Radium, or whatever is tailored to the assets you're working with.
Okay, so diversifying by chain and protocol, that feels, pretty intuitive. But then the framework gets more specific, right? Talks about the third dimension, diversifying by pair type.
Yes. You need to set explicit targets for how much of your capital goes into stablecoin pairs, how much into correlated pairs like the classic Rudith, and how much into the more volatile pair.
And then there's a fourth layer.
Exactly. And then you have that fourth dimension, which dictates how you're actually positioning that capital. So are you running a passive strategy like a V2 pool or a super wide V3 range? Is it active with narrow managed V3 ranges? Are you doing governance strategies, locking up V tokens to boost yields? Or are you using hedged strategies?
Okay, speaking of hedging, here's where the blueprint gets, I don't know, a little demanding. The risk management framework. It says if you want to be professional, you need these non-negotiable limits. And I get the need for limits, but isn't a hard max percentage per protocol potentially just crippling your yield?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Uniswap V3 on Base is offering amazing sustained returns, should you really cap it just for diversification's sake?
That is a great question, and it really gets to the core of what professional even means here. The analysis in the sources strongly suggests these hard limits aren't about maximizing your yield today.
Okay, so what are they about?
They're about guaranteeing longevity. They're protective measures against the unknown unknowns.
So what specific failure modes are we talking about protecting against?
Well, the framework says you need three specific hard limits. The max percentage of portfolio per position that manages the risk of one specific asset tanking or a sudden nasty IL spike.
Okay.
The max percentage per protocol that protects you from a critical smart contract exploit. If 30% of your capital is in one protocol and it gets hacked, well, the other 70% of your operation survives. And finally, the max percentage per chain. That's your defense against things like bridge exploits, a chain halting, or massive gas spikes that just paralyze an entire network.
That really reframes the goal then. It's about survival over just maximizing returns right now.
Exactly. And beyond those limits, if you're running aggressive, volatile positions, you have to integrate and track hedging strategies like delta hedging. You have to know what those hedges are costing you and what benefit you're getting. Otherwise, you're not managing liquidity, you're just gambling on price.
Okay, so you've got the architecture down on paper,
Yeah.
but now comes the hard part, right? The actual discipline of doing it, which brings us to phase two. Operational workflows. And I have to say, I love that the source material promises this isn't a full-time job. It lays out a predictable time commitment, 5 minutes a day, 30 minutes a week, and 2 hours a month. That actually sounds sustainable.
It has to be. That predictable rhythm is really the key to not burning out and, maintaining consistency. So let's start with the daily workflow, just 5 minutes.
What can you actually do in 5 minutes?
This is purely fire prevention. You're just quickly reviewing all your positions, checking for any automated alerts you've set up. Did the price crash out of your V3 range? Is IL spiking on a volatile pair?
So it's a health check, making sure nothing is actively bleeding out.
Precisely. The real deep performance assessment, that happens during the weekly workflow. That's about 30 minutes.
And this is where the big insight comes out, I think. Yeah. The most crucial part for any aspiring pro LP.
Oh, absolutely. This is the moment of truth, the net return comparison.
Yes, the mandate that every single week you have to calculate your net return. So that's fees minus impermanent loss minus your gas costs. And then you compare that number to what you would have made by simply holding the assets.
It is the ultimate benchmark.
It's the ultimate gut check.
It is. Because if you are consistently losing to the simple HODL strategy, you're not enhancing your capital. You're actually degrading it. This comparison, it forces immediate accountability. If you spent a week rebalancing and paying gas only to make less than someone who did nothing, your strategy is actively costing you.
That brings up a good question then. If you're losing to HODLing for, say, 3 weeks straight, does the blueprint just say to cut your losses and get out?
Well, the guidance is a little nuanced, but it's clear. If the loss is from IL and high volatility that you expect to mean revert, you might wait it out. But if the loss is from low fees combined with high gas from, you know, pointless rebalances.
Like bad execution.
Bad execution, exactly. Then that capital should be immediately rotated into something more passive, like a stablecoin pool. The weekly check is there to identify execution failure, not just market craziness.
That makes that checklist so valuable. So beyond that big comparison, what else are you doing weekly?
This is your action time. You identify your best and worst performers. You double check that you're still within all those risk limits you set. And you make small rebalancing moves, like maybe collecting your earned fees and putting them back to work. And if you're using V tokens for governance, this is when you'd vote or update how you're collecting fees.
And then it all scales up to the monthly workflow, 2 hours. This is the big strategic meeting with yourself.
Yes. The monthly review is comprehensive. You're looking beyond the week-to-week tactics and analyzing your overall strategy's effectiveness. Is your aggressive bucket actually delivering? Is your conservative bucket being too safe? This is where you optimize the whole system, maybe retire a few underperforming pools, and make those big capital allocation shifts for the next month.
And it's the only time you should even think about touching those fundamental risk limits from phase one.
The only time.
Right, yeah. But you can't do any of this in the dark. You can't execute these workflows without solid, reliable data. And that brings us to phase three, automation, and phase four, your performance tracking system. You have to move beyond just looking at the simple UIs on the protocols.
Okay, so let's get specific on the tracking. For someone running, say, an active V3 position, what's on that daily dashboard? What do you absolutely have to see every single day?
Daily tracking needs to focus on real-time viability. You need your hold time portfolio value, of course, fees earned, IL by position, and that immediate net P&L so fees minus IL minus gas. And for V3, critically, you need a clear visual of the asset's price versus your liquidity range.
Because if you're out of range, you're not earning fees.
You're not earning fees, and you're 100% exposed to the downside of whichever asset is dropping. It's the worst of both worlds.
Okay, so what tools do you need for that kind of insight? The sources mention a few. Let's go through them. What's the unique job of something like APY.Vision? So APY.Vision is really crucial for that real-time aggregated view. It often calculates impermanent loss more accurately than the protocol's own UI, especially for those really complex, concentrated V3 positions.
And Zapper. That's more for the big picture view.
Exactly. Zapper.fi gives you that 30,000-foot view of your entire portfolio across all your wallets and chains. For V3 backtesting, you'd use something like Revert Finance to see if your chosen range would have even worked in the past. And then for general market context, you're always looking at Duffelama for TVL and volume trends before you jump into a new protocol.
But the sources are pretty clear that the real pros don't stop there.
Absolutely not. The highest performing LPs, they're always supplementing these commercial tools with their own custom solutions. We're talking detailed spreadsheets, Python scripts to pull data right from the chain, and building their own Dune analytics dashboards that are customized specifically for their strategies. They need a level of data integrity that generic tools just might not offer.
Okay, let's talk about taking some of the effort out of this system. Automation. The blueprint breaks this down into three pretty clear levels.
Yep. Level one is just monitoring automation. This is something everyone can and should do. You set up alerts, you know, Telegram or Discord bots, that ping you when a key threshold is crossed.
Like when IL is about to overtake your fees.
Or when the price is about to exit your V3 range, something that requires your immediate attention.
Then you get to level two, execution automation. And this is where you start using active liquidity manager protocols, or ALMs.
ALMs are a game changer for scaling complex V3 strategies. They basically let you delegate all those repetitive rebalancing tasks. The sources specifically mention Arrakis Finance and Gamma Strategies as good examples that automatically manage volatility for you.
But what's the catch? I mean, you're gaining a ton of convenience, but you're also introducing a whole new layer of risk, aren't you?
You are. And that is the critical discussion point. ALMs can save you a huge amount of time and gas, which can improve your net returns. However, you are now adding another smart contract layer and their management fees on top. A professional LP has to weigh that increased complexity and protocol risk against the efficiency gains. And if you use an ALM, your risk limits from phase one have to account for it.
And level three, full automation.
That's full custom automation. And this is really high capital institutional territory. We're talking about proprietary strategies, dynamic adjustments, maybe integrating MEV bots, and complex arbitrage. It requires serious developer resources. It's for funds usually, not individuals.
So with this whole system in place, you can finally start to tailor your approach to your own risk tolerance and your goals. And the LP playbook comparison in the sources lays out these four really clear profiles to help guide that portfolio construction.
Yeah, they're great examples.
Let's run through them. Playbook one is the conservative LP.
All right, this person is all about capital preservation. They're targeting maybe a 5 to 10% APY. Their trade-off is really about opportunity cost. They're putting like 80% of their portfolio into stablecoins using V2 pools or super wide V3 ranges.
So they're accepting lower yield for peace of mind and very little maintenance.
Exactly. Then you have the balanced LP in playbook two. They're taking on moderate risk, shooting for maybe 10 to 20% APY. Their portfolio is more diversified, maybe 50% stables, 30% correlated pairs, and 20% in a blue chip volatile pair like ETH-USDC.
And their big challenge is what? Managing the gas costs from that volatile slice so it doesn't eat up the profits from the stable side.
That's the main challenge. Then you get the aggressive LP in playbook three. This is someone chasing high alpha, targeting 20 to 50% APY, which we should say is highly variable.
Very variable.
They're heavily into volatile assets, governance tokens, and they're using really narrow V3 ranges, sometimes as tight as 1 to 5%. The primary trade-off here is a huge time commitment and extreme IL risk. One wrong move can wipe out weeks of fees.
And the last one, playbook four, the professional LP. And this profile isn't just about high risk, it's about managed risk.
Precisely. This is the person who's using the entire system we've just described. They're using delta hedging, ALM protocols, custom automation, all to target a more consistent 15 to 30% APY. Their trade-off is the upfront complexity and cost of building the system, but they get the most robust defense against market shocks and their own mistakes.
Now, before anyone listening gets completely overwhelmed by all this talk of MEV bots and delta hedging, the analysis has some really solid advice in what they call the beginner's corner.
Yes, and this is so important. You don't need all this complexity on day one.
Right.
The goal is to build the system, not to just buy it off the shelf. The advice is to start with a minimum viable system, just one protocol, one pair, and track everything in a basic spreadsheet. You learn the real mechanics by doing it manually first. You should only automate the tasks that are super repetitive after you fully understand why you're doing them in the first place.
So one position, a spreadsheet, and a weekly check. That's the minimum.
That's the minimum viable system.
So when you pull it all together, what's the big takeaway here? Building a professional LP system means combining those disciplined daily, weekly, and monthly routines with a defined risk structure and the right set of tools. And systematic execution is always going to beat ad hoc management, especially in markets like these.
And we can't forget the last piece, phase five, complete system documentation. This might sound boring, but defining your LP philosophy, your exact risk tolerance, low, medium, or high, and most importantly, your emergency protocols, that's non-negotiable.
Right. Like, what do you do if there's a protocol exploit? What's the immediate action if your whole portfolio drops more than 20%?
Defining that stuff in advance, when you're calm, is the final line of defense.
So professional liquidity provision. It's a mix of math, risk management, and just systematic execution. So for you listening, As you look to implement this kind of systematic approach, here's a final provocative thought to chew on. What's the single most valuable metric to focus on first when you start implementing this system? Is it maximizing your net P&O SO fees minus IL minus gas, or is it ensuring rigorous risk limit compliance?
One drives your short-term return, for sure, but the other one ensures long-term longevity and prevents that catastrophic failure that really defines an amateur. So think about which one should be the priority for building a professional LP system that lasts.